The word today is sound. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Our ears that can hear beautiful conversation and music or warn us of danger are wonderful creations of God. If we heard the Lord calling to us, would we be eager to meet Him? When Adam and Eve sinned and heard God coming, they ran from Him. Thankfully, God was coming to rescue them, not condemn them. Here to share more about this fascinating topic is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Sound.
There are certain sounds that might make us afraid. For instance, an air raid siren in a war-torn country causes people to fear for their lives and they go into hiding. A tornado or an earthquake is a natural disaster that survivors say they will never forget the sound of. A police ambulance or a siren with the police chasing a criminal can also fill us with anticipation and fear, especially if we're the one who is being chased. God willing, we will not be the perpetrator. What about the sound of God walking nearby or speaking to us? Would that fill us with fear? It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 3, when the humans have sinned against the Lord, when He comes into the garden to commune with them, to fellowship with them, they're afraid when they hear the sound of God coming. I'm going to read for you Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." We wouldn't normally think that we would go running away from the Lord, but this is exactly what happens to us when we fall into sin. It's kind of foolish to try to run away from God, given that He is all-knowing and all-powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." But nevertheless, this is what sinners do. They try to run away from God. They try to hide their sins. It's really futile, but this is what sinners do. And what is it about this nakedness? Well, the nakedness is symbolic of mankind's innocence. When they did not realize they were naked, they were focused on the Lord and they weren't obsessing about themselves and they were comfortable in the environment God had given them. Once they become aware of their sin, that is, their eyes are opened, they become aware of their nakedness and they feel, oh, this is not advantageous, and they are ashamed of themselves. So they make clothing for themselves. It's highly symbolic of innocence when they were naked and do not realize or care, and shame when they realize because they have sinned and try to cover up their nakedness. What is it about this tree of knowledge of good and evil? Essentially, it determined that once they disobeyed and ate from that tree, the disobedience caused them to start thinking of things not just in trust what God said, but there was a shift that took place. When their eyes were opened, they started to think about what was good or bad in their own minds, their own self-determination of what is good or bad for them. And that's really how sinners think. Instead of trusting the Lord to tell us what's good or bad, we start thinking we know what's good or bad for us. And oftentimes, it's not truly that great when we operate from our own sinful perspective. Let me ask you a question here. Since individuals who sin against God tend to run away or try to hide, let me ask you a question. Are you hiding something from God, or are you attempting to hide from God yourself? Is God maybe calling out to you through the program today? Where are you? What are you doing? Are you trying to escape the Lord of the universe? Are you trying to get away with some sin as though he's not going to know it? It's useless to try to cover up your sin, to pretend and try to fool God. It doesn't work. As we heard in Hebrews 4, he sees this. He knows this. Why not confess your sin to the Lord and seek forgiveness from him instead of playing this game of running away and pretending he doesn't know? Disobedience creates a barrier, a gap between ourselves and the Lord. And it can also create horrible gaps between us and other people, our wife or our husband, our children, our friends or family members. It's always better to repent of our sin to God, receive forgiveness, and stop playing games. Now, the Lord may be calling out to you. He may be seeking you through other people. Let me explain this. When we're doing something that's sinful, when we're trying to cover up something, others might suspect it. They might see evidence of this. For instance, if you have a pornography addiction, or if you have an alcohol addiction, if you are carousing and living a sinful life, others see this. They know. They suspect something's going on. So maybe God is calling to you to repent through a family member, someone who lovingly asks you what you're doing, what's happening. Maybe it's a church member, a fellow Christian who is inquiring as to what's going on, or maybe even calls on you to repent. Perhaps a work associate sees you cheating and confronts you. Or hopefully you're not so involved in sin that the authorities are coming after you. In any of these situations, the best procedure is to stop and repent instead of keep attempting to cover up and bury what you're doing. That just leads to worse and worse sin and worse outcomes. I ask that if you're hiding, if you're playing games where you're running away from God, that you stop doing this. It's just not healthy, and it will not get you salvation, running away from God. Now, the good news is that the Lord, when he came into the garden, he knew what was going on with Adam and Eve. When he says, "Where are you?" it's not because he's ignorant. He is calling to the humans because he has already determined that he is on a search and rescue mission. It's not a search and destroy mission when the Lord came into the garden. He could have determined, "Oh, now they're sinful. I'm just going to end it right now." Instead, he determined to search and rescue. The very same way that today this message might be coming to you, calling on you to repent and to come to Jesus Christ. God the Father sent his Son into the world not to condemn it and destroy it, but to save it and redeem it. And in fact, Jesus said about himself in Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, not destroy the lost, but to save the lost. This is why he went to the cross. Christ carried our sins to the cross in order to save us. We would be destroyed. We would be condemned in our sin if all we did is just keep hiding it, pretending we were not sinful. That's why it's important that when you're hearing the message today, that you admit your guilt to God, that you confess your sin, that you come to Jesus Christ and receive the gift of forgiveness in his name. You know, already, right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord God, God the Father, already had a plan to crush Satan, to destroy Satan's power. And in part of the curse on sin, the punishment, the Lord says to Satan that he will crush your head, that is, the offspring, the seed of the woman, would crush his head, and he would strike his heel. Satan took his best shot at Jesus. He struck at the heel of Jesus, so to speak. But the Lord Jesus brought his foot down. He crushed Satan. When he died on that cross and rose again, he ultimately broke the power of sin and death and destroyed Satan's attempt to destroy us. It's so wonderful that the Lord came to seek and to save us instead of condemn and damn us. Expect that there will be times in your life, if you're committing sin and trying to bury it or trying to cover it up, expect that the Lord's going to have people calling out to you to repent. Maybe they will be saying, what you're doing is wrong. It's at that time that you need to quit. You need to come to the Lord, admit it, and seek forgiveness. Remember, in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus said, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So expect occasionally for God to call you out on your sin. Repent quickly. Admit your guilt. Stop playing games covering it up. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive his forgiveness and live a life of freedom and truth in his name.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.